Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drawstring chinos or whatever.
Not a versatile trouser.
Exactly. Tim's flagship podcast, episode number 289. I'm your host, Jamie, joined by Melly.
You are.
And Stephen.
Going to try a wave this week for the benefit of the video people only, of you.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, come the season, we started producing this podcast on YouTube. You can watch us in glorious HD on youtube.com/20minutetims. If you're already doing that on YouTube, please subscribe and like. Help us out in the algorithm. Help us out building the channel and all that sort of stuff. And another way to help us is, of course, patreon.com/20minutetims, where you can get, amongst other wonderful podcasts from us three, match reactions. And we had one last night for Celtic v Hibs. Green Monday, you coined it, Melly. Blue Monday is how everyone else calls it, but we coined it Green Monday. I thought that first half of football was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, after the wee break we've had and come back, getting back into the stadium, once you sit down, you go, oh, wait, there's a game here to be played, and you forget that. And Hibs are a good team, playing well under the two games they've had under Maloney. Celtic just blew them away, fast out the blocks, just woof. The pressing was brilliant.
Archie McPherson there.
The pressing was brilliant, and the new boys looked great. So you're like, we're back with a bang.
Absolutely. Thoroughly enjoyable, at least half of football. It kind of fizzled out a wee bit towards the end, but that's maybe to be expected as we come back from a winter break that we forced through so that we had fit players fit back. So thanks, Beaks, the SPFL, for sorting that out for us, wink. But I thoroughly enjoyed the first half. Was absolutely superb. The atmosphere was great. The football was great. Always good. Always exciting to go along and see debuts as well. Aye. But for them, we both impressed, and we'll get on to that, obviously. But you know, main feelings about the game was an enjoyable night to be back at the old Celtic Park.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, it makes it all the better because you were in that game a bit of trepidation. There'd been a lot of talk, obviously, about the new players coming in, about the transfer window, about everything else that's happening. A few transfers went awry, players leaving and all that. And the focus in that window kind of moved away from the football. But as the game caught up, as I was coming to the stadium, I was like, still a difficult game here that we need to win.
Yeah, and Hibs are looking good under Maloney, as I've said, and kind of get the impression with the way he's going that they're going to come and play football. Mm. And fair play to them, they tried to do that. But when you're looking at Celtic as well, it was we've got a couple of new signings in, but there's still a lot of players that potentially could have been out injured. Like, I didn't think Jota would make it last night. So seeing him in the bench, having Giakoumakis, Mikey Johnson as well, options up front, then we can make substitutions. You're like, all right, this is how other teams do it. They can make subs that can affect the game. I forgot what that was like.
And the bench was worlds apart from what we've had recently.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say world class.
it was world class. Yeah, absolutely. Compared to what we've had recently with like Ball and Golo and Sorrow and guys like that getting dragged up from nowhere onto the bench.
I think the difference of the bench this time was these are players that you can actually see starting games and contributing.
Whereas before
it's basically you're left with any options. I think the main thing people wanted to see yesterday, obviously, apart from Celtic back, was Daizen Maeda and Rio Hatate. Daizen Maeda, right off the bat, gets a goal. What did you think of him, Stephen?
Brilliant. I mean, what a debut. What was it, 4 minutes or something like that? He'd scored. I was extremely confident he was going to score, and I said that before the game when we were recording or at the match podcast.
How much did they win?
Nothing, absolutely nothing.
That was an absolute stick on.
I know. A little bit quiet on the ball for the rest of the game, but you could see what he brings to the team. His constant energy. And, I mean, similar to Kyogo in that way, in that you can see how much of a threat he is, even if he's not on the ball. It's a constant work rate, constant pressing, very, very fast as well. So what a start. It's always great to get hit the ground running like that in terms of goals for an attacking player. Of course it is, but you can see what dimensions he brings to, yeah, to the team as well.
And what it is especially with Kyogo out, he's kind of slots in the same way Kyogo does. We don't need to change the entire way that we're approaching these games.
No, he is very similar in the way he plays, and that pressing as well, the one where it goes right back to the keeper and he presses the defender then goes to press the keeper. Yeah. Like Messi,
they call that the pressy press.
The Messi, he didn't take too long on it, but just the sheer pace of the guy took Maeda so close to him, and I think teams will get caught out by that. We've seen it in the cup final with Kyogo, just got in behind Hibs twice and buried two chances. I can see the same with Maeda. I think he might look a bit better away from home when there's a wee bit more space, but Hibs played by back three last night, he didn't have enough, much space, but from what you've seen of him, and we've seen games from Kyogo where he does nothing, bags two goals.
Yeah,
Maeda's going to not be prominent in the game but score, I'm all for it.
See, that's getting the players in early, Stephen, and then like
what
having,
to be said for
I know, and then like having bounce games and all that. So it's the stuff I do in Football Manager. See, when you've got like that space where a lot of games, you're like, I'll get a bounce game, get some of the guys and get them used to playing with each other. Approaching things in this organised fashion is so unusual. But the point I'm coming to is it kind of made dividends. You've got Rio Hatate, who we're obviously going to talk about. You've got Maeda getting off the score sheet in his first couple of minutes in the side. You're like, okay, I can see the benefits to actually managing a football team.
We've said this so often over the years, and with so many managers now, what are we on, our fourth manager or something like that as a podcast? We've said it so many times in so many transfer windows. We want to get them in early so that they've integrated into the team. We give them the best chance of like playing straight away for the second half of the season and for the next season for qualifiers and all that. But I've become so bored of saying it that I thought, well, it's never actually happened. So what's the point in actually talking about it? But maybe talk about the board and all that kind of stuff. Maybe it's, well, as I said, it's helped a lot by the fact that the Japanese season is finished. But also, there was a lot of rancor, and you're the rancor, mate, if anyone is. A lot of rancor after the summer window where Ange had mentioned that maybe he's not making it clear enough that he wants players in urgently. So maybe they've taken that on board and thought, well, this guy's no joking.
Or maybe they've sacked the guy that's responsible.
Well, maybe, yeah.
But I think the thing is, like, everyone's like, I don't want to get the ball too much credit here, but everyone's like, finally getting these players in early, doing all these. I think there's an element of it's because it's Japan. And these players, most players, as we've spoken about on this podcast loads of times, players want to know what their options are come these windows, so that it's in their interest to leave it sometimes to the last minute. Some players want their futures tidied up and organised to it sweet, but a lot of players, well, we'll see what we can get. But obviously it's a different situation when you bring them in. So it's not like we've identified these guys from Japan, plus guys from Holland, plus guys from England, and they're all in early. It just so happens that these ones, I think, we've benefited from circumstance here a wee bit.
And the kind of mainstream transfer window, the one we have in Europe, they're not all lined up like that. The one we have in Europe, for the most part, is often a domino effect thing. So there's a knock on teams will hold on to their players till the last minute because they want replacements in before they sell them. No such worries here, because that quite often happens and there's suddenly a flurry at 10 o'clock on the day of the deadline.
I was listening to Sports Sound. This will come up a lot, probably. Listening to Sports Sound podcast. That's a national broadcaster, by the way, for anyone listening from Australia or Japan, as we tend to know. They said Celtic have pulled two more rabbits out. It looks like Celtic have pulled two more rabbits out the hat with the Daizen Maeda and Rio Hatate, and that suggests to me, when you say rabbit, there's an element of like, how did they like David Blaine reaction in the Sports Institute, they're all shit, what the fuck, where'd you get these guys from? The reality is we just went to Japan and bought two of their best players out of the league,
the top goal scorer and a guy that's just won the league playing in midfield. It's not a big leap to say that Celtic scouted these guys and Postecoglou knew who they were and how we got them.
They were both in the team of the year.
It's not as if they're like Midland Japanese players that he's picked out and went, I can really mould these guys. Yeah. They're already into their professional careers, look very good, and look good for Celtic. Now, it's just an old school, innit?
Yeah.
Old school, Sports Sound.
Well, I spoke to you, you're talking about Sports Sound. It was old school because Chick Young, after the game, said to Ange Postecoglou, he goes, there's a bit of the, when I saw Rio Hatate on the ball there, it reminded me of Shinsuke Nakamura. Do you see that? And Ange went, not really, mate. He's Rio Hatate. Now, they've got similar hair. And a great first touch. That's kind of where the similarities begin and end. So, but where they're always trying to make up these stories, these headlines. It's all the same. One thing I found with Daizen Maeda was, everything you said, I can't really add to what you're saying. He looks very much in the Kyogo mould. He's got that great pace, relentless work ethic up front. I thought he was quiet apart from his goal, and I thought some of that was down to the delivery that he was or wasn't getting. Mm. And Abada on the wing, we've discussed the Abada thing to death. We don't really need to go over it and over it again, but I just think it's going to be crucial that when he's there, we need to find him, and we struggle to find him. And sometimes, Melly, I'm watching Abada at the game, and he's not even his head up. He's like the ball, he's not even taking an information to find out where this new guy is in order to get the ball into him.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see long term where Maeda plays, because looking at that front three last night before the game, me and Stephen discussed it. Like, yes, Maeda.
Without me? Oh, you rude.
Uninvited. Maeda was in, which obviously takes the headlines, but when you look beyond that, Forrest and Abad out wide, if Abada's out right, we preferred him playing up front recently. Thought that was his better position, and Forrest, he's never really played well on the left. We always prefer him out right, so it's two guys and a new guy up front. You're like, oh, we kind of need to win this game here, but with the early goals, it sort of calmed that down. But as you said, Maeda, quiet, but at the same time didn't get the service, and I felt the service from the midfield to the wide players could have been a lot quicker. But when the wide players got on the ball, I thought Forrest and Abada were really poor. And long term, the way Ange is bringing in players, the level were like, we can maybe touch on Martin Boyle. I think Celtic are a level above Martin Boyle now in the terms of signings, but with Maeda, Kyogo, Jota to come back, I just don't really see Forrest and Abada being long-term players for Celtic.
What you're saying there is about being levels above Martin Boyle. I think the players that Ange is bringing in are levels above the players that are already there, Stephen, with the obvious exception being Callum McGregor. I think the likes of, when you look at the players that Ange is capable of getting, like the quality that we can now bring into this club through his leadership, you're looking at Greg Taylor, who had a good game yesterday, fair enough. And, well, he had an okay game yesterday. You're looking at Mikey Johnson. You're looking at James Forrest and you're thinking, see if Ange was given another 15 million quid and allowed to go into the transfer market, he could probably replace you guys quite easily for the quality of talent he's finding and at the value we're bringing them in.
See, on that, I agree with that. I think we are levels above those sorts of, well, not levels above, but just maybe if these players don't hit form over the next couple of months, you'll maybe see they'll struggle to
get back. Do you think Mikey Johnson's running into a problem because he keeps getting chances? And Ange's already spoken on the Mikey Johnson thing, saying, I can't construct anything from him. He trains with us, he gets chances, he needs to take it. He keeps getting chances, but he's never really taking them.
Yeah, you can make the same argument for James Forrest as well, since he's come back in.
Do you think it's more pressing, though, for Mikey Johnson? Because James Forrest has came, forged out a good career, and he's kind of at the tail end of that career, whereas Mikey Johnson's at the start of it, and you're thinking, and every time I see Mikey, I want him to do well. You want the guys that come through the youth think to do well. But he's starting to frustrate me a wee bit, if I'm being polite. I'm like, come on, Mikey, man, just take one of these chances.
Yeah, hopefully now that we've got more options in, there's not that pressure on these guys. Look, they're playing for Celtic, they should be able to play under pressure. But what I want to see is, say it's Johnson, Forrest or Abada, I want to see them alongside Kyogo and Maeda, or Kyogo and Jota, so it's not like Johnson, Forrest and Abada up front, because none of them are on form, none of them are playing well. I'd like to see one of them in with the other two of the good three. So long term now we've got options, it takes the pressure off them a bit, and hopefully can come into a team that's playing well. And like that St Mirren game was one that you're relying on Johnson and Abada to score. It's not ideal. Now we've got options, it takes the pressure off them. Giakoumakis is in there as well. But I think Celtic are just moving up slightly, but at the same time, Forrest, Johnson and Greg Taylor, guys that aren't on massive wages, guys that are Scottish or come through Celtic, that's kind of ideal backup for Celtic in these positions. You can't just go out and bring in a whole raft of players. You need guys that have been there, know the city, knows what it takes. Because like Celtic are full of guys like that. Maybe it doesn't always need to be a Kieran Tierney or an Aidan McGeady that comes in and is the mainstay. If Celtic's youth academy can produce players like Welsh, like Forrest, like Mikey Johnson that can come in, do a decent job, but there's always better players than them, that's fine as well for me.
I just wonder if that's a good spot for Mikey Johnson to
be in. That's exactly what I was about to say. You think he'd be happy with that?
Probably not, but he's not a major story from this game. I don't really want to dwell on him too much, but just to speak to the sort of perception of him as a Celtic player these days, I said when he came back into the team that the unfortunate thing with him being injured so often is that I kind of forget he's there. I forget he exists.
So, just come back to this game briefly. That's kind of the impact of it. Is that we've now got all these options. where Mikey Johnson, as a result of these new players coming in, the options we have might find his time limited.
And since he's been back in the team, that I, when we were talking about transfers and the amount of players coming in, we said that players need to go. And I just looked around my mind brain for a player that might embody that. And I just said, well, maybe Mikey Johnson will go. And that kind of speaks to how I kind of think of him. Yeah. But I want him to do well as well. But I don't know if I necessarily see a place for him going forward. But I don't think at this stage of his career, with 22, maybe 23 or something like that, he's going to be wanting to be the fourth best winger or something like that.
Precisely.
Yeah,
precisely.
See how it goes on.
Do you see a front three of Jota, Daizen and Kyogo?
I hope so. I think the three early days on Maeda, despite not really being involved last night, he got a goal and that's cracking, isn't it? It's another option up there if Kyogo's out. I'll be interested to see him. If Kyogo's not looked good when he's moved out to the left-hand side, he's looked better through the middle. I'll be interested to see how Maeda does, because he didn't quite get the ball last night and dribble and run at players, so it'll be interesting to see if he's going to play out wide. If he can do that, he can score goals. We've seen that from the YouTube highlights and last night. It would just be, if he can play out wide, that'll be great if him and Kyogo can interchange. But I think the main thing is, if we can get Jota back and get him fit, he's a guy that can take on players, has that bit of magic as well as the end product. So if there's a bit of variation between the front three, and look, it's a long season, there's loads of games like we've seen. If we start selling wingers, we might lose players and we don't know how long Kyogo's going to be out for. So I think we'd be best keeping guys that have played a part, maybe getting rid of like Sorrow, Bowling, goalie, all that sort of nonsense until the end of the season. With that front three, that's like the sort of dream front three. Hopefully we can get it on the pitch at some point.
Stephen Melly said like one of the frustrations for last night was the time it took the midfield to turn on the ball and play in the wingers. And you know, it was a comical moment that led to the penalty for us, where Greg Taylor accepts the ball in midfield and he's got about 20 yards or 25 yards to run into, and he just pings the ball forward and it ends up, you know, the defender handballs it, we end up getting the penalty off the back of it. But one player who's made the difference for sure in that midfield was Rio Hatate. I thought the guy was unbelievable in the first half. I sent you in the group chat, I put Hatate fire emoji.
Says it all. Simple and to the point.
We didn't even need to reply to it.
You didn't even need to.
No, just a nod.
Absolute player.
I took my phone out and just sort of nodded towards it. But he was outstanding, absolutely outstanding. And I said to Mel at halftime, he's definitely going to get that obligatory new guy man of the match award at Celtic Park, the corporate voted thing.
The Jota Award. Park.
Yeah, the Jota Award. Everybody gets it on their debut. It's just a shame he had to share it, a debut with Maeda. But absolutely outstanding. What I like about him, and we spoke about this after the game as well, is that even if he's given the ball away, it's because he looks like he's trying to make things happen. It's not like he's dithering on the ball and or playing slack passes. If he does play a slack pass, it's because he tried to get it forward. Or maybe with the short amount of training that they've had, and they'll played against each other plenty as well, he looked to be looking for that Maeda run without really necessarily looking as well. He'd be just turning play a ball in, and it wasn't always reaching its intended target, but I'm fine with that if you're trying to make something happen.
And he was also trying to see, sometimes when he lost the ball, he was always trying to win it back.
It was
on this all hands in the air or whatever. He was like, right, I need to get it back. What I loved was Melly, he's all over the place. I mean, he was all over that pitch. His heat map was ridiculous. Someone tweeted it, but you could just tell watching it, he didn't need the heat map. He's looking for it at all times off everyone, even when he's got one or two guys at his back. He's looking to give it and go, just constant movement in that midfield. And you're like, this is it, because we've got, again, we're quite midfield heavy with players that aren't, well, you know, necessarily that good or aren't going to contribute very much. But we've managed to find a guy here who is entirely different to any other midfielder we've got at the club.
Yeah, it's early days, but it's the, if you're sort of picking a player that we need, that is it, that energy in there. I think we spoke about it last week, that energy and dynamism, and he brought that and some more last night. The energy, the pressing, and his pressing is really good, but it's another guy to add to Maeda and Kyogo, where it's another player in there that doing what Ange wants to do, and it's another player that is doing it. And if somebody's not doing it, it becomes very, very obvious. So we've seen with Kyogo, the lift he instantly gave Celtic by doing this press. Everybody else has to get up to that standard. We've got another two players in there that are bringing that standard up as well. So you're thinking, like, there's no room for passengers in this team anymore from the midfield forward. You need to be fit, you need to be pressing, and you need to have energy. And the more players we get like that, the better. But he was everywhere. His passing was good, and when Stephen spoke about it last night, trying to make those passes. Celtic, I felt, changed their tactics somewhat slightly last night. When the stats came out, Hibs had more possession of the ball. And we've seen under Maloney, the way they play, it's similar to Belgium. They play the 3-4-3. Fair play to them. They came and tried to give it a goal last night. It was great to watch a game like that, and it rarely happens. But the way Celtic were pressing, Hibs was different, I felt, from how they've pressed teams. Usually it's Celtic play their 4-3-3 and we go out there and we play our game. But Rogic was right up there pressing with Maeda and the two wide players. So we pressed their back three and one of the fullbacks, whatever side it went out to, and one of the midfielders took the other fullback. So Hibs were trying to play out. Fair play to them. They're quite good at it at some points, trying to break into their midfield. But Celtic's pressing was very good as well, and that's where the first goal came from. And it was good to see that we change of tactics as well. I felt that Celtic didn't have as much possession, but I felt that was kind of meant, because when we got the ball, you've seen it with Hitati, he was trying to get the ball forward. If we've got guys like Maeda, Jota comes back, Abada is pacey, and Kyogo, get the ball early to these guys. Look at the cup final at Hibs. Mm. We've seen what we can do if we get those through balls early. They've got the pace, they've got the drive and the runs to make. So it sort of changed up slightly and it looked good. And I just feel that getting into away games and going further down, these wee tweaks will benefit Celtic.
I think there's an element of us letting Hibs have the ball as well a wee bit, you know, because they were always going to try and play out. And we thought, well, okay, so if you want to try and play out, because they didn't really get out their own half an awful lot. It was plump, 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 shut down, and then the ball was right back at the Hibs side.
Yeah, we're making them make mistakes.
Plump, plump, plump is the noise the ball makes as it's been passed up the pitch.
I'm sure that's what Sean Maloney would be saying.
He goes, so plump it to him, and then...
It must be a Belgian word. But the way that we were playing was good, because it allowed Hibs to come on. It's another thing that's like adding to the Arsenal, because we do have options now. We might not just see, like, this is our best 11, let's play this. We've talked about how we've struggled to beat the low block. Another fast, pacey player in there is something else that you're going to give teams to think about. So it's another one we can go, right, okay. Then when you look at if Maeda's not having a great game, or if Abada's not having a great game, move Maeda out wide, bring on Giakoumakis up front, and that's another, like, sort of target man physicality up there. So it's just these options now after a couple of players coming in, and you're like,
54% possession Hibs had to Celtic's 46, 592 passes as well to Celtic's 507. More possession, more passes, Stephen.
Yeah, I mean, it is impressive for a team to actually come and try to win the game. Granted, they didn't actually get anything from it, but I'd much rather see that. I have an awful lot more respect for teams who try to do that than to just sit in and destroy, because it does absolutely nothing for anyone. People could argue very obviously with me and say, well, Livingston got a point and Hibs didn't, so that's obviously the wrong approach. But I think long term, if teams try to actually win football games, call me crazy, but they may actually manage it on an occasion.
Things, you don't leave the stadium hating Hibs the way you leave. And really, exactly. Teams come to Celtic Park, they should be playing for our respect.
Yeah,
that's why they're there. Sean Maloney gets my respect. I think he's done good. He has done good since he came. He's done well since he came into Hibs. But I think he handles himself really well in these interviews. Yeah. And a lot of the interviews, you get the impression that they're trying to, like, scruff his head and all that. Wee Sean, how you doing and all that? Yeah, you're looking forward to being back at Celtic Park and all that. And I heard an interview midweek with him where he's like, oh, big game for you at Celtic Park. You look to get back. And he was like, well, you know, ultimately I'm preparing my team to win. I think Sean Maloney's got the makings of a good manager. Then a lot of these guys start off the makings of a good manager. You know, Jack Ross started off that way. Paul Hartley, all these sort of ex-players come in, a lot of them make a really good impact in their first job, but they never really have that longevity.
He seems different, Sean Maloney, doesn't he?
He's got that pedigree behind him, obviously.
Of course, like, talk about a big game at Celtic Park. Like, mate, I helped out at the Euros in the World Cup, helped out. He's coached there. That's given doing him a disservice. He's got a high pedigree coming in, and it seems like we've met him, we've interviewed him, and he does think about the game. You can tell that he's a bit different from everybody else, and I really hope he does well. I think we need a better challenge from teams like Hibs and Hearts, because if Celtic and Rangers are just going out battering every team, it's not going to be great, is it? We're just going to be relying on beating each other in games. But if Hibs can sort of do well, but the way they're playing as well, I'd much rather watch that as a fan than watch what we see from other teams just sitting in there, because Hibs, despite not creating many chances, I can see them going somewhere because that's only three games in, and compare that to the Hibs we've seen in the cup final, it's night and day for me.
I think with Maloney, what you mean is that the main difference is he's not a wee dafty. He's not one of these wee Scottish dafties. Even the stories about him from when he was a really young player as well are that he was ultra, ultra professional, ultra like sensible guy, like a serious football guy and all that. So I'm not surprised at all that he has made a bit of a name for himself in coaching and he's branched into management for the first time as well. I hope he does well
there. What a nice changer.
I know, I hope he does well there. I mean, I've no interest in Hibs whatsoever, and I'm glad that he didn't take anything from Celtic, but I'd like to see him do well as a coach because you never know when we might need another one further down the line.
Well, that's it.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Now, despite Hibs doing very well, they couldn't break down the Celtic defence. Carter Vickers and Starfelt in there, Stephen, which... it was unusual to me listening once again to Sports Sound. Stephen's head is in his hands here. This is a gripe Stephen's been on for the best part of a couple of months now, but it's like Sports Sound are trying to spite you, Stephen, because you started this. You went, I'm hearing this a lot, but it doesn't actually stand up to any scrutiny. And now it's every single time, particularly Carl Starfield takes the pitch. But Michael Stewart, right? Michael Stewart. I like Michael Stewart, okay? As a pundit, you're one of the best that we have, right? He said he can't understand why Celtic aren't in for John Souter. Fair enough, right? Okay. Decent point. John Souter's a decent footballer. But he went on to say that John Souter's better than Carter Vickers, which, Stephen, means that face Stephen's making, means that opinion.
Sucking air sharply through my teeth there if you didn't see that.
Just wrong. There is no, Carter Vickers is head and shoulders, knees and toes above John Souter.
Well, we've already spoken about Carter Vickers being needlessly dragged into the Starfelt debate, right? And I accepted at the time that Starfelt warranted some sort of, at the very least, analysis, right?
He wanted
a bit of doubt, a bit of discussion over it, because I cannot sit here and say that Starfelt has been perfect for Celtic, or has he even been an outstanding player for Celtic. Has he been perfect? No, absolutely not. But does he warrant this weekly obsession with him being terrible? No, to dedicate about 10 minutes of Sports Sound after
national broadcaster
after a game in which Starfelt was perfectly good, brilliant, didn't put a foot wrong really any more than anyone else, during which Celtic kept a clean sheet, were barely troubled, to dedicate 10 minutes of it to Sports Sound to how bad a player Starfelt is and how Cameron Carter-Vickers, would you pay 6 million for him? Don't know about that. Everybody said yes, and Michael Stewart said, oh, really?
You get John Souter for half a million.
Okay, right,
but right, okay,
the Starfelt thing, I'm exasperated with it now, to be honest. I don't know what it is. A lot of people have just made their mind up about him. I'm not going to drag us down the same path of listing all the reasons that people are right to doubt him. He had a terrible December. He was awful in the cup final. that like people are just ignoring all the games. And there's another perfect example of people just willing to ignore the fact that he had a game right in front of our eyes. And people immediately after the game turn to, oh, well, he's not very good, is he? Even after he performs well. And I don't know what he's done to deserve that, frankly.
Is it a case, Melee, that you piss your pants at work once, you become the guy who pisses his pants? But you've been in the job for 5 years and you've only pissed your pants. Yeah.
I think it is that we were talking beforehand that Stephen was trying to come up with reasons why it could be. Is it because Carter Vickers beside him is really good? And
I think there is an element. I think there is an element of that it's just it's kind of like they just want an interesting story. Carter Vickers, so you've got the solid one and you've got the haphazard guy. Mm. But he has a bad game or a pretty poor game. And I think some of the times with Starfelt is down, he makes one mistake and his head goes, he starts to doubt himself and all that. He has one bad game, but it's like it's following him about. And as Stephen said, I thought he was great yesterday.
You've one bad game and you're labelled a prat. That's the problem. I think it is the start. He had that game against Hearts where he had, but I don't even think he had a training session. He was thrown in and caused the first goal and all that. Fair enough. But if you're going to hold on to that for the whole of his career, like, I'm sorry, it's Celtic. Every player we sign has flaws in some way. They'll come out in the first game or the second game or down the line. But what happens if Kyogo keeps getting injured? He's brilliant, but if he keeps getting injured, are we not going to have a go at him there? I mean, Stephen spoke about it last night. Maeda had a terrible pass over right in front of us and everybody just went, no joy, mate. whereas if it was somebody else like Mikey Johnson, Greg Taylor, or somebody even Starfelt who's had criticism, we'd be right on their back. And that's up to us as fans. Like, Tony Ralston managed to change people's minds as well, so it can happen. But looking at the whole defence, Starfelt was great last night. He stood over the ball at one point, but every single player last night had something. I thought, they never look like they've seen a ball before. Tom Rogic fell over the ball and was terrible at some passes. Who else? Greg Taylor had a couple. You're like, what are you doing?
Ivanovic had a pass just go through his legs for no reason.
They seem to be playing well. And then as soon as I thought in my head, oh, he's playing well, they do something a minute later that was very silly. But I thought the whole defence was fine last night. Joe Hart again, barely had a touch. Greg Taylor, thought it was harsh on Ralston because he's played so well. Juranovic didn't deserve to lose his place either. But I sort of seen last night, it is more balanced with a left footer over there. And I get what Ange, I think he likes Greg Taylor. And sometimes I can see it, the one you spoke about, Jamie, where he plays it to Abada. I kind of think that's meant. If Greg Taylor gets it and gets it into the dangerous area quickly, Celtic go on the front foot instantly and got a penalty out of it, or if it hadn't hit his hand, they'd have got a good chance. So I can see why quite likes Greg Taylor. I just need him to be a wee bit more consistent. There's times in the match where he did have the ball, drive into that space if the early pass isn't on, or just do a wee bit better, Greg. But I think, look, he's been out for a while, he's coming back. I'll give everybody the benefit of the doubt last night because everybody looked a bit rusty going into the second half.
On the Starfelt thing, a final thing, I'm becoming conscious of the fact that I might just be sitting here, the longer this goes on, I might just be sitting in this seat going, and yeah, do you know what? He had a terrible game at Hearts.
Yeah.
And yes, he did score that comical own goal in Europe. And do you know what? Yeah, it might have had it might have been sent off in a comical
you
fashion.
You did your job for them.
And yeah, do you know what? It might have nearly cost us the cup final. Mm. And then after that, yes, admittedly, it did have. But apart from that, you tell me what he's done wrong. It might get to that stage. And I don't want, as much as I'm talking about it and I seem to be the most annoyed about it, I don't want to come across like I'm coming at this from a point of view of some sort of affectation. I'm like a stan of a stan felt, right? I don't, that's not the case. I'm just bewildered by this constant scrutiny of
it's
the guy.
It's that old thing where they just seem to create a headline. Listen, I just want Greg Taylor. We like you as a Celtic player. I feel bad for Greg Taylor because he's one of the only Celtic players that don't have his Instagram comments turned on. So you can't like say good game, mate, and all that. He just posts a picture up and like, if he's not your friend, you kind of go. And I think there may be a time where he was getting a lot of abuse on social media and people saying, oh, you're bloody rubbish and all that sort of stuff, because you know what social media is like. And he's probably turned these comments off. So just want to reassure you, Greg, that you can put the comments on. I've got nothing but nice things to say about you. It always struck me as Greg Taylor strikes me as a real professional. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He's knuckling down, doesn't get involved, doesn't get too high, too low.
Making the best of his ability.
Making the best of his ability, a really professional. And there's a lot of guys in that team that you just think, like Maeda, McGregor, Kyogo, we don't need to mention, Carter Vickers, Starfelt, Joe Hart, you know, all these guys are like, we're bringing like right good professionals, which brings me on.
I'm not going to say right good teammates.
which does bring me on to Lee Griffiths, who was let go. And listen, we can't discuss professionalism without discussing Lee Griffiths. Lee Griffiths leaves Celtic without so much as a tweet from the club. I didn't even know it was official until they asked Ange, I think, pre-match yesterday if it's actually went through. And he went, look, Lee Griffiths leaves this club. He comes through Ange gave a speech where he goes, look, we're all transient figures here. Lee came through the club and it's up to everyone who comes here, manager or player, to leave an impression, and Lee Griffiths certainly did that. Lee Griffiths leaves the club at 31 years of age. I think for sure he's not maybe getting kept on at Dundee. I think they're looking to get rid of his loan. He needs to find a new club for him somewhere else. He's left under a bit of a cloud. Obviously there was lots of off-field issues that played the part in Lee Griffiths' reputation at Celtic sort of being soured. But as a player, he was good for us for a period.
No, there's no doubt about that. He was a great player for that. I mean, goes without saying, he had that season where he scored 40 goals, and you don't do that by accident. You don't score 40 goals, like, don't all like, hit off your knee and all that. Yeah. Obviously,
that was a crap team as well.
Yeah, exactly. And it wasn't the greatest.
What year was that?
2015,
16. 16,
the year before Rodgers came in. So
looking at the strip right there.
Oh, of course.
Shannon have a strip as well.
Yep. So, so he did have a great period. But since then, I mean, since if you go back to the start of last season where it had already gone on quite a long time, but we could even go back 3 years and start talking about Lee Griffiths' time coming to an end at Celtic. I mean, I don't want to get into all the off-field stuff because we've done it all to death at the time. I'm basically trying to talk about him as a footballer just now. It came to an abrupt halt the start of last season when he was sent home from yet another training camp. Was it 2 years in a row he'd been sent home from training camps? So it was this season where he was for very different reasons. But the one where Neil Lennon didn't let him go, didn't let him travel because he wasn't fit enough to even take part in training in pre-season was the beginning of the end. To give him a new contract was outrageous.
Madness.
Frankly. We've just paid him for absolutely nothing.
Panic. Yeah. It was obviously a hike. If anyone for Celtic ever tries to say the summer was in the panic stations, all we need to do is point to that Lee Griffiths contract.
Yeah, and it's over for him, and I'm not taking any glee in this. I wanted him to go, and I wanted him to go a long time ago because how many times have we spoken about the circus that follows Lee Griffiths? And I wasn't just saying that about badness. It's clearly the case, and it rumbles on to this day, but it has been shuttered at Celtic now, and he's no fit, so it's over, right? Yeah. It's as simple as that. No more talk about, but if he just gets fit. We've been saying that since 2018. Fit and firing. That's not going, categorically not going to happen. It might get fit, but
no.
How much Celtic have been doing for him in these last couple of years, is he going to get the same support at Kilmarnock or wherever he rocks up? Extremely unlikely. So I would suggest that his ability to turn it on at any kind of decent level, full-time level, is probably over.
I think the thing with Lee Griffiths is he always required micromanagement, or you needed a lot of squeezing to get the juice out of Lee Griffiths. And as his career went on, that seemed to be more and more the case.
Squeeze the gravy out of Lee Griffiths.
So when he first came under Neil Lennon that signed him originally, was
it?
Yeah, tail end of Neil Lennon signed him, and then Ronnie Dyla's team, and he was getting in that team because, you know, we were cutting budgets, and we didn't have the options. Then Brendan Rodgers came in, and Brendan Rodgers amplified everything that was going on at the club. Then Lee Griffiths came in again, and obviously Neil Lennon, a lot more hands-off with Lee Griffiths, and he at that point, I feel like the responsibility... Because Brendan Rodgers had a go at him as well, didn't he, at one point?
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Under Ronnie Dyla as well, we brought in other players, but Griffiths scored the goal, so managed to get back into him. And Dyla's first season, Griffiths was potentially going out on loan to get game time, but managed to work his way back in. And that's what I always felt with Lee Griffiths. If he's coming in and scoring goals, that's fine. But we've seen it so many times with Scottish players. Like, once it gets to the point where you can't rely on your base fitness and your talent, when you have to do the extra things to prolong your career, he was never going to do that. And we've seen it when Rodgers came in. Even when Roy Dyla's telling him, Lucas Hague's not good for you, take that on board. And then Brendan Rodgers comes in again, raised the levels. Lee Griffiths, to be fair, raised his levels kept in there. He was a good player alongside Dembele. But once you start getting these injuries because of your lifestyle and not looking after yourself, guys like Brendan Rodgers aren't going to have much time for you. He's lucky Lennon came in after that, and he done well to come back after that and get back into the team when Celtic played the 3-5-2. But again, he threw it away. He threw it away when he was playing well, when Celtic needed him, when they're coming into that big season. Him and Edouard up front was the plan. 3-5-2, there was always going to be a position for him, even when we brought in another striker. Two out the three would play, so he'd always get game time. And he chose to just go away and do what he wanted. And this is where he's ended up. Now, see the new contracts we give Lee Griffiths always annoyed me, because it's again a guy like when we bring back Neil Lennon. Lennon did well when he came back, fair enough. But no other team's going to come in for Neil Lennon. You're going to have to sack Neil Lennon or let him go. The same with Lee Griffiths when he's over 28 years old. If you're giving him new contracts, no team's going to come in and buy him, so you're just saddling yourself with him. So you either cut your losses and see what's coming and plan ahead. Celtic didn't, and they kept giving this guy contracts because they didn't have any plans for bringing in anybody else. And this is what we're stuck with. We're stuck paying this guy 8-10 grand a week, whatever he's on, for nothing. He's contributed nothing for Celtic this season, and he's put Celtic in the headlines for the wrong reasons.
I think the thing about Lee Griffiths is, and what I was trying to get at, is I don't think the Lee Griffiths has necessarily declined as a professional. I think he was always at this level, whereas up until very recently, there was a support structure around him where he's managed to weasel his way into the team. That's unfortunate, but he's managed to score the goals that have masked everything that else has gone on, and managers have had to rely on him because he's the only guy in the team that can stick the ball in the back of the net. You light a wee fire under Lee Griffiths, he gets all enthusiastic again, he comes in, but then that drifts off, and then that season where he had to train on his own and stuck in the house in lockdown, and Neil Lennon more or less came out and said, we gave everyone a fitness and diet plan and he didn't follow it, and he's come in over a stone overweight. See, at that point, and I know Neil Lennon, or I heard Neil Lennon wanted, at that point we should have cut our losses with Lee Griffiths, because this was the career trajectory. This was always going to be Lee Griffiths. It was always going to end this way for Lee Griffiths. He was never going to come back after shed a couple of... Oh, he's Indian summer and he's lost a couple of stone and he's looking... It was always going to end this way with Lee Griffiths. And see if at that point we'd cut the ties with Lee Griffiths, there would have been none of this off-field stuff. But people would have looked back and went, God, what a striker he was for his playing some important games. Those two free kicks against England. And then he can go to Dundee or whatever, Celtic Hearts, wherever, and just piss about or see out the rest of his career. But it's the fact that Celtic held on to him for so long when it was the writing was on the wall that he should have been long gone. Now I feel obviously I'm maybe overly sympathetic towards Celtic players all the time. I find it very hard just to like throw one under the bus, because I just remember Lee Griffiths for his overall contributions. So see this, he's that. But I just truly feel the best thing for all parties would have been beginning of that fateful season. Just cut ties with the guy. Yeah. Do what the manager wanted. Let Lee Griffiths go.
Yeah, and you're right to do that. It shouldn't be... I don't want to just sit here and just do a hatchet job on the guy, because he did score 123 or 4 goals for Celtic.
A million quid.
You don't do that by not being a good player. And even if you accept that it was one outstanding season and the rest kind of middling, but he still scored important goals throughout his time. Mm. Even if you average out, he probably scored... over the course of it, 15 goals a season, even if you average it, which is still decent, even if like one season was outstanding, some weren't. So he did contribute, but it's just that it's a very ugly ending to it all, and that's really unfortunate. What you say
it's
about
because he's so public as well, isn't it? Well, yeah. A lot of these players are coming; they just sit in the sidelines, and then and Cham kind of just quietly left out the back door.
He's always been doing the same things, from what I can gather, from what I can guess as well. And you're right to say that. Like, it was always headed this way. What we're faced with here is just the natural passage of time as well. And the athletic peaks aren't made up. That simply is natural for every player or athlete to come to the end. If you're eating like an idiot when you're 23, yeah, you might get away with it just due to your metabolism and natural
fitness.
You're
trying to suggest that Lee Griffiths eats like an idiot.
If you do, hypothetically, if one
say
does,
for talking sake, you're scranning tea cakes. in the dugout, that sort of thing.
Kebabs after training.
So it's just, it's all come to the inevitable and very predictable ending for Lee Griffiths, and it's over now, so I'm looking forward to moving on.
My worry for Lee Griffiths is that he seems to be at a state of so unfit. He seems to be so unfit that he can't get a game for Dundee. And you think to yourself, as you touched on it earlier on, Stephen, like, you're maybe too unfit now to be even playing professional football. Because yeah. I was listening to a podcast with Paul Hartley recently, and he's Kelty Hearts manager, and they're no full time. But what he's saying is, I want professionals in here. I want guys that are, you know, fit and look after themselves and look after themselves off the pitch. And I was thinking to myself, like, League of Us might not even get a sort of higher end part time club if he's not prepared to look after himself, and that ship's probably sailed.
Well, you need to be fit, simple as that. No, you don't. No, they have to has to be Cristiano Ronaldo, but you have to be to some degree athletic, right? That's just a fact with it. And I don't believe that it works down in increments. I don't believe you could be like, right, peak of fitness, he scored 40 goals, puts on 2 stone, right, he'll probably score 20 goals now. That's not how it works at all. Like, you're still going to need to be in the right positions and make runs and all that. And it's the nick of him, the now just doesn't suggest that he's going to do that. And can you see him ever, like, be, well, I'm just going to get fit?
It's all those Edinburgh boys. Lee Griffiths, Gary O'Connor, Deke, they're all crackpots. Yeah. they all just sort of, their careers just sort of fitter out and they put on 4 stone.
It's a shame because when you're looking at the guy, like, wasted talent again. It could have been, he had a very good career compared to a lot of people.
He would probably sit here and argue better. Saying, you can't, what are you calling me wasted talent for? Look how much I've won. Yeah. Look at my medals, look how much money I've made.
He should still be playing for Celtic, but that's the problem. And he should still be maybe not the guy playing up front. Well, maybe we've moved on a wee bit now with Ange, but he should have still been playing for Celtic the past 2 seasons. Yeah. He should be going from Celtic and going with the best wishes of most of the fans and going another SPFL team or down to England in one of the lower leagues and get carving out another couple of years. But you just see him plummeting down the leagues now. And again, it's a guy like Lee Griffiths. We've seen it coming and you're like, come on, mate, screw the nut. And it's going to be too late. But I want the same as what I want from Neil Lennon from Lee Griffiths. If he comes out and says, my Celtic hell or whatever, sells his story or whatever, I want to see responsibility taken, because you, as a professional footballer, your job is to be a professional footballer.
Yeah.
You can't just be a footballer. You need to be professional. Look at the best players in the world right now. Look at even your average player. They'll probably have their own personal trainer. They'll probably have a diet plan. They'll be doing extra things. You can't just be that footballer anymore that trains and then does what he wants out with that, because everybody else is doing the other stuff and you get left behind, son.
Stephen, from Deliveroos to Socceroos, Riley McGee, not as good, isn't it?
Invoice Deliveroo for that as well, by the way.
You had a go at me for getting his name wrong and you just done it there.
I said Riley McGree.
Yeah, he said McGee.
Did I?
I'm sure.
I don't know, the listeners will say
McGree.
Anyway, you don't need to, you know, at least don't ruin the joke. He knocked his back. A player that Ange was interested in, Middlesbrough. I don't know if his agent was playing some games there. We had a good offer accepted. His agent probably just went, by the way, here's what Celtic have offered, can you top it? Middlesbrough, desperate for promotion, got their grubby paws and some more money, and he decided to sign for them. They put up a wee jokey tweet saying some people prefer red to green, yada yada yada. Do you want to go and podcast in Middlesbrough?
Well, it depends on the offer, I suppose. I mean, I'm open to offers, get in touch, Middlesbrough. But
nobody wants to ply their trade in Middlesbrough.
No, absolutely. Nobody wants to live there, surely. Apologies if you happen to be from that horrible part of the world. No, in all seriousness, that's just how it works, man. We've been gazumped. It's like that old tabloid favourite. We've been gazumped to do a player.
Going to play football with Saul Bamba.
Saul Bamba, yeah, he's had a decent career as well.
Matt Crooks,
former Rangers ace. Look, it just happens. It'd be churlish of us to sit and go, I was pishy anyway, because Ange clearly wanted him. He was honest about that. He was very open about that, but it hasn't worked out. So we move on, as they say.
As that famous tweet said.
Yeah, I could have seen him working quite well, but obviously with Hatate coming in and playing the way he has, it's very quickly kind of Riley Who. It went from Riley Who, and then there was 2 days of, yes, Riley McGree, and then it's back to Riley Who.
Yeah.
So all's well.
Yeah, I'm not going to lose much sleep over a guy I hadn't heard of a week ago. If he wants to go to Middlesbrough, it's a lot more money. These guys, he's probably grown up watching the English Premier League, so to these guys, that's the Holy Grail. That's where they want to get to. He's a guy from Australia, fair enough. So maybe use Celtic or whatever. However it didn't work out, if he wants to go there, it's very up and down. With Middlesbrough this season, he could be challenging for promotion and get into those playoffs and maybe get there, and next season fighting relegation. It's a very difficult league, so I'm not going to say good luck to him, but he's made his bed, so fair enough. If you don't want to come to Celtic, it's not really that big a deal, is it?
I saw someone make the point that I think Middlesbrough only offered him an extra 2 grand a week or something like that, and that seems like it's nothing, but How many weeks are there on a 3-year contract? Because that's £300,000 over the course of that. It's quite a lot of money, really.
It's a lot of cheddar, isn't it? Ange was pretty upfront about the transfer things. Ange just can't be arsed with any of our sort of tabloid media's crap, can he? He just can't be arsed with it. And when they asked him about players he was linked with, I think this was directed at Martin Boyle. Martin Boyle stuff, he says, well, no interest. Any of the 20 names here that are going to be linked, it's all lies. I think Ange was a wee bit cute there as well, because I'm pretty sure we're probably, you know, still in the market for maybe one or two guys if they come up. So he's like, any names you hear, it's all crap, it's all lies, it's their agents pushing moves and all that sort of stuff. So he's sort of getting ahead of these transfer rumours, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he is. Like, we got three guys in early, and that's brilliant. If we had the usual with Celtic, if it had been spread over the window, three good players coming in, you'd be happy with that, because it's the very start. We want more. But it shows we were in for the Australian boy, Riley, and I think we wanted to... I forgot his second name there. So
I know he did. You're digging me up.
That's why I just...
Shat it.
We got away with it. Just keep going.
So I think we're looking for a player in that mould, which... But if Ange says that's us for a way, I think it has to be get the players out before we can get them in. That's fair enough. There are guys in there that are sucking a lot of wages up. But if somebody comes up, get them in, I still think we could do a central midfielder.
Stephen, any transfer window wishes? It is the 18th of January as we record this.
I feel very differently. A shock triple swoop on New Year's Eve will do that to you. You feel very differently about
it. Tabloid headline there.
Do we need maybe a couple of other things? It's hard to pinpoint it now, because what I said when all those players come in was that you can actually see the reasoning for all of them being brought in. They address quite a lot of the problems that we have. Mainly at the time, we had no attacking players. We were missing David Turnbull and we don't have a replacement for it. We kind of do now.
Yeah.
And, you know, Idiguchi kind of goes in with that kind of mess of midfielders we've got just now. Mm. It remains to be seen where he'll fit in that particular pecking order. Could we maybe do with fullback reinforcement?
I think one position people were talking about was just on the midfield before, actually, I talk about that. Just the minute, with these midfielders that we've brought in and watching Hatate's performance against Hibs, I just sort of picture in my mind Ange standing at the touchline, obviously the guys on the bench behind him, and every time Hatate does something like runs or tackles or wins the ball, he just looks over at McCarthy and goes just spends the whole game going, I'll do it to the camera, spends the whole game going, see that? Well, that's what I'm after. One position people are talking about was maybe goalkeeper. We need a backup goalkeeper. Barkas is obviously on his way out the club. It's been well publicised.
Bainey new deal.
That's what I was coming to.
Thwarts that, doesn't it?
Scott Bain gets a new deal to 2024. It's kind of like Scott Bain is basically your typical third choice keeper, isn't he? He's the Lucas Zaluska of this current Celtic team, isn't he?
Played altogether far too much, did old Zaluska, didn't he? But it's underwhelming. A lot of people were annoyed with it. And
I'm struggling. I'm not angry at it. He's obviously doing enough to impress the manager. He's obviously doing enough to carve out a career for himself. He's another one who, manager's obviously given sanctions and a new deal for him. He's another one who was kind of like, he just came out of kind of nowhere. We were struggling for a goalkeeper. He was on his way to Hibs. He'd fell out with Neil McCann. Real life, our player Neil McCann.
How could anyone fall out with Neil McCann?
It cast him out of Dundee, and then he ends up getting carving a good career for himself out at Celtic.
Yeah, and it was underwhelming. It was a surprise to see them announce that. We didn't get the email. We usually get emails from Celtic. Celtic want us to publicise things for them.
I still don't have my signed ball, Celtic. Signed women's team ball for my niece's auction. Unbelievable.
Disgusting, but it's... What I feel, I'm always the guy as well. See, when we're talking about backup players, I'm always the guy who says, right, no, that's not how that works. You don't want guys who are crap, but they'll do it for backup, right? Yeah. You don't want that, because that's no use to anyone. You want people who can come in and...
I've just remembered Neil Lennon saying, I've got three third choice keepers. How rude is that? How unfair is that?
You want guys who can come in, say, for example, no Ralston, he can probably fill in a right back at adequately, right? But I feel very differently towards that than I do a goalkeeper, because in that position you can afford to have a guy who's just there, who's just happy to, and before I go any further, I don't want to imply that Scott Bain is just an utterly useless goalkeeper. I don't think he is. I think he's got the reputation that he's not very good. And I don't think he is that great. I don't think he's utterly useless. And if he's just, if he's content to spend the next 4 years being obvious understudy to Joe Hart for now, and we'll see what happens when Joe Hart gets a little bit older. That's maybe he comes in, or maybe Joe Hart is replaced again. And he's and all of a sudden we've had Scott Bain for like 8 years and he's played a bit of a part. I'm fine with it, to be honest.
That's my one worry with this, and that's what I want to bring up. If, God forbid, Joe Hart gets injured and Barkas leaves the club, which is his wish in this January window, apparently.
His?
everyone's ever Christmas wish. That drop-off from Hart to Bain is enormous.
Yeah, and it's not just the goalkeeping, it's the leadership as well, isn't it? It's team. Every team's got this sort of guy that hangs about the goalkeeper and is just there. I think
ask Joe Hart. Various other clubs.
He's done it, but he can come in. I don't ever see Scott Bain coming in and making a claim for it. I think he's another one that maybe suffered from the last season, and you just sort of want all of that, all the players that didn't really do well last season out, so we can forget about it. If he's there, not playing, fair enough for me. And I think Ange was on after the game last night talking up Tobi Oluwayemi. So he's been brought into the first team, so maybe he's one for the future. Ange's taking him out the B team and he wants him training with the first team, so there's progression there. We're always wanting young players to get a chance. Well, if Joe Hart gets injured, Oluwayemi might be in with a shout. And look, you need keepers, because we've seen when
you do,
especially with COVID, Barkas ended up coming in. He was maybe fourth, fifth choice, so we need a third choice keeper. I would like a better keeper to come in to be second choice, but second choice keeper's a hard thing to sell to any good keeper, because exactly, you're not going to play.
Boy, what a podcast. We'll bring this one to an end. I've been Jamie. Thank you so much for joining us in this episode of 21 Tim's. Melly, would you like to say goodbye?
Melly.
Yes, as previously mentioned, I am Stephen, and yes, good to be back. Good to be back to football and in the podcast.
In the hot seat.
Join us on Patreon, patreon.com/20minutetims. Absolute buttons. You can support this podcast and get more of us. You'd love it. Thank you so much for listening.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.